Glory to God. I'm not going to demand any testimonies tonight, but if you feel well enough to stand one more time, I'm sorry. We'll look in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 31. And when you find Jeremiah 31, you can hold your finger there, turn over to Isaiah 49. Glory to God. We're grateful to your pastor for allowing us to come. The Baggett family has been very kind to us through the years, and we just feel blessed to get to be with you, and appreciate seeing all of the good saints at harvest time. Brother Manuel, you did a fine job leading the service tonight. I know a pastor appreciates that there's folks at home who can do some stuff when he's not here. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Did you find Jeremiah 31? Say amen. All right. Jeremiah 31 and 3. Jeremiah says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me," a long time ago, "saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And then Isaiah 49, verse 15, reads like this. It asks an odd question. Isaiah 49 and 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." That's a reference to the walls of Jerusalem while the people were in captivity and the walls were not guarded and in places they were crumbled. The Lord is saying, I see your situation. I'm aware of the things that bother you. Hallelujah. I'm going to call this tonight strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah. My main scripture I want you to notice there was in Jeremiah 31, 3, "I've loved thee with an everlasting love." And in Isaiah 49, where the Lord says, "I will not forget thee." Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Lift your hands. Call on the name of the Lord with me one more time. Glorious, sweet Jesus, I love you tonight, Lord. I glorify and I adore you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you that you would be in this place, Lord Jesus, that you would be mindful of us, Lord. We are grateful, Lord. We're thankful for your presence. We ask you to remain in control tonight. Empty me of myself, Lord. Let your word, let your spirit flow through me. Let your words come out of me, Lord Jesus. And Lord, let what you want to be said tonight. Let it find good ground in our hearts. Have your way with us, we pray. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Oh, clap your hands one more time as you're seated. Give the Lord glory. Give him honor and praise tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now that title, you may find that familiar. That's taken from an old song that it was published in 1923. Called "Great is Thy Faithfulness." It was written by a man named Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. You don't know very many people anymore with the name Obadiah. But he wrote this song. It's very well known. It's not in most of the hymnals that we have in our churches, but it says, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be." Hallelujah. It says, "Great is thy faithfulness." But the verse that I got that title out of was verse 3, where he says, "There was pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide." And he says, "Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside." He's talking about the faithfulness of God, that he's found that Jesus is a reliable source of strength. He's faithful, and through that faithfulness, I find strength for right now. For today, I've got strength, and for tomorrow, I've got hope. I thought about these lyrics as I considered this message, as I put it together. God is faithful. To say that God has been good is so inadequate of a description of what God has done for you and for me. Amen. He's given us abundant grace. He's given us mercy that is brand new every morning. Pardon for sin. Peace that endures. His presence in our lives. Great is the faithfulness. faithfulness of our Lord. Hallelujah. He's been so good. You could break down and talk about each of these things that Jesus offers. The grace, that unmerited favor of God. The mercy when he does not allow punishment in our life, even though we might have done things to warrant some punishment. He gives us joy that's unspeakable, undescribable joy welling up within us. Not happiness where everything is just ha-ha, but joy. See, happiness depends on my circumstance. Joy comes from the presence of the Lord, knowing that he is near. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Peace. What kind of peace does he offer? Peace that passes understanding. All of the things that make sense to me end right here. But when I go beyond into things that I don't understand, somehow I've still got peace. I can be calm beyond the bounds of the things I understand because of the closeness and the faithfulness of Jesus. Hallelujah. We've got power in our lives. We can see miracles come to pass. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Hallelujah. So many things we could go into and explore and try to just pick into pieces and say, look at the faithfulness of our God. But I'm going to simplify today this whole message into three words. The faithfulness of God, I'm going to simplify for us. Are you ready? Jesus loves you. Now, some people are saying, now, Cole, I've heard that before. Jesus loves you. Is that it? Isn't there something else? I was hoping for something more profound, because Jesus loves you is too easy. We've heard that a few too many times. It's become kind of a cliche. It's one of these Christian catchphrases. They used to have bumper stickers 100 years ago that said, smile, Jesus loves you. It's just something that we say. I was hoping tonight for something a little bit deeper, but guess what? There is nothing deeper. There's no greater revelation. There's no better understanding than coming to know that Jesus loves you. There's no greater hope than the hope that you will find in the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. What about the cross? Well, guess what? It was the love of Jesus that motivated him to go to the cross for you. It was his love that made him want to go to the cross for me. He was beaten and he was whipped with the whip with the rocks and the pieces of glass and the leather, and his back was torn open. Because he loves you. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They accused him of blaspheming. You understand, he was God in flesh. And they said, you're a blasphemer. Oh, and they mocked and they ridiculed and they spat on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. And yes, it hurt. But don't you understand, they were mocking and say, look at you, you're the king. They put nails in his hands. Can you imagine? Nails through his feet. And they hung him on this cross, and it was all for love. It was because Jesus loves you. Oh, but we want a deeper topic. We want something that's more, something fresh, something I haven't heard, something more impacting. How about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? We can read in the second chapter of Acts, where on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God filled the house where the disciples were sitting. Like I said, they were praying. They were calling on the name of the Lord. They were waiting for the promise. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, as the Spirit of God made them able. They started to speak in languages that they had never learned. The people watching, they didn't understand what was going on. Some of them mocked and some of them said, what is this going on? And Peter got up and preached. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This is, if you were wondering, what is it going to look like? God said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men are going to see visions. This is what Joel was talking about, he said. When you see people lifting their hands, calling on the name of Jesus, speaking in languages they don't know, this is what he was talking about. He told them that what you've got to do, Jesus has been crucified. The Messiah has been sacrificed, and you were waiting for the Messiah, and he's not here anymore. You didn't recognize him. And in their devastation, they said, what should we do? He says, you've got to repent. You've got to turn your life around. You were going this way, doing things your way. Turn from who you were and follow Jesus. That's how you repent. He says, you've got to be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus. And that's going to make your sins go into remission. Hallelujah. And then you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, just like you see right here. It's the fulfillment of the command that Jesus gave in John chapter 3, verse 5, where he said, you've got to be born again. You need to be born of water, and you need to be born of the Spirit. But, you knew all that. What is it about? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He wants to occupy your life, not just visit you and not just influence you and bless you and come and go. He wants to dwell within you. It's all because of his love for you. He doesn't want to come and go. He wants to indwell you. In Matthew 28 and 20, he said, I am with you always. How? Through that infilling of the Holy Ghost. He said in John 14 and 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. We could read that in some other translations, and it actually reads, I will not leave you as orphans. What does that mean? Orphans are people who don't have any children. I mean, who don't have any parents, I should say. An orphan doesn't have a father. But Jesus is saying, when I come to you, you're not going to be orphans anymore. You won't be fatherless because Jesus identifies himself. You ought to read John 14 every week. It tells you who Jesus is. He wants to be with you. Why? Because Jesus loves you. You know, we could talk about a lot of things. We could talk about heaven. We could talk about that's bright hope for tomorrow. Heaven exists because Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. John 14 and 2, that same chapter, he says, this is Jesus talking. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, what a promise. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus wants to spend an eternity with you. Don't you know that Jesus loves you? I'm telling you the most impacting message that you'll ever know. Not the best preached thing you've ever heard. But you need to know you are precious to Jesus. You are of high value to the Lord. He loves you. You know, We just kind of skip over when we advance to the high level of Christianity, and we've had some experience. We sometimes forsake the very simple things, and we forget the wonder and the majesty and the hope that is found in knowing that Jesus is in love with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every blessing that he offers can be traced back to his love for you. Have you ever been healed in your body? I know that you have. And some people don't realize they have. If you'd never been healed, you'd be dead. The Lord heals you. The Lord restores you. Sometimes he'll do it real fast, real quick, in a miraculous way. Sometimes he will just gradually restore you. And a day or two ago, you were sick. Now you're well. That's not just because you took some pill. That's because the Lord was able to restore your body and to heal you. Do you know that in Exodus, I think it's chapter 15, probably about like 26, God identifies himself and he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. In that passage, he doesn't speak about what his name is or any kind of identifying features or anything that really you would think is so revelatory, but he says, I'm the God that heals you. That's who I am, he says. You can find in Isaiah 53 that by his stripes, by those wounds that he took on his back, you are healed. He provided healing, the same event that provides your salvation. He wanted to provide healing for your body. He told James told us the remedy. James told us how to get it. I think it's in James chapter 5. He says, is anybody sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil. They'll pray for him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's God's will for you to be healed. If you came with pain tonight in your body, You know, sometimes we think that we've got to be jumping and running and spinning in circles, and then something will happen in an emotional moment of frenzy and somebody will get healed. No, healing will come from understanding that it's promised to you in the Word of God. Healing will come when your faith rises to the place where you say, Lord, do that thing. I know that it's your will to do it. I'm going to receive it tonight. God doesn't want you to go home feeling bad tonight. He's provided healing for you because He loves you. If you've got a job, if you've got a house to live in, if He's ever provided for you financially or even in a miraculous way where you said, where did this money come from? I was out of money, but here's enough and even more than I needed. I didn't even think I had that. That's because Jesus loves you. He works a miracle for you. He makes a way, like they say, where it seems that there is no way. Have you ever been in sorrow? Have you ever suffered the loss of someone precious to you or just had something awful happen in your life when you truly needed Him to literally be the comforter? Oh, has Jesus ever restored your soul? Has He ever given you hope to wake up tomorrow? You went to bed and you didn't care if you got up tomorrow or not. But because Jesus loves you, the sun came through your window blinds and you said, it's going to be okay. I can face today because Jesus is with me. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The peace that He gives in overwhelming times. The forgiveness. Have you ever, since you were filled with the Holy Ghost, since you made Jesus your choice, have you ever strayed from Jesus? Have you ever had a moment where you walked away from the truth, even for an hour or for half a day or for a week and a half, and you said, this is not really who I want to be? The Lord set me free. The Lord forgave me. And here I am back where I was a little while ago. I don't want to be this person. How many times do we go back and say, Lord, would you forgive? Lord, would you cleanse? Lord, would you have mercy? Every time He's faithful to forgive. Jesus loves you. Oh, glory to God. The scriptures that we looked at as a text today speak of the everlasting love of Jesus. In Jeremiah 31:3, that was where God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. We don't have to worry about when is it going to end. When am I going to exhaust the supply of God's love? It's not going to happen. Everlasting means it doesn't go away. You cannot go so far. You cannot exhaust the supply of the love of Jesus. But He presents this very strange question in Isaiah 49. We looked at that, and that's where in verse 15, He asks, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And we instantly look at that and say, well, certainly not. Of course not. A mother is not going to forget her child. But the Lord says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. And that's when He says, behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. We stop and we say, a mother will never forget her child. But stop and think. It can happen. Yea, they may forget. The human mind has some frailties. The human mind has some limitations, and there have been occasions where people have totally lost the memory of people who were precious to them. Their friends come to see them, and their family comes. And how many times maybe you've heard people say, we went to see Mama today, but she doesn't know who I am. Oh, the tragedy, the devastation that fills a mind when someone visits that precious loved one and says, well, we spent time and we sang some songs and we held her hand, but she doesn't know who I am. But the Lord says, yea, they may forget. Through that limitation, through the frailty of that mind, they may forget. But God says, I will never forget you. You're never going to be forsaken. You're never going to be abandoned by me. And then He makes a prophetic reference to the crucifixion. He says, I've got a special way to remember you. He says, you're engraved on the palms of my hands. And he's talking about those brutal nails of Calvary that pierced his hands. He says, you're on my palms. You're engraved. You're graven upon the palms of my hands. Those nails remind you of his love. But what else? They remind him of his love. Glory to God. Did you come thirsty for his presence tonight? Lift your hands just a moment. Lift your hands. Just say, Lord, I love you. Glorious, sweet Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I know somebody's thirsty tonight. Have you ever considered the difference between hunger and thirst? Because it's not the same thing. You probably know that, but you hadn't thought about it until I brought it up. I don't know. But hunger is that empty feeling that you get in your belly when you haven't eaten. It's been too long since you've been fed. You need to eat something to sustain yourself, to maintain your strength. But thirst is not the same thing. Thirst comes from a lack of moisture in your body, a lack of water. And you know that feeling, whether it came from a strenuous season of work or maybe a strenuous time of play. Your body gets hot and tired and drained of energy. And the weather that we've had here lately, you can get that walking from the house to your car, worn out and sweaty and tired and dry, somehow wet on your skin but dry within. Your body is hot, tired, drained of energy, and your mouth gets dry. It's hard to talk. It's hard to swallow. You know, physicians will tell you that dehydration starts to take a serious toll on your body systems. And if you were to stop thinking about your physical body for a moment and think in spiritual terms, because you know that in the Bible, a lot of times water is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. That water sometimes in the Bible represents the Spirit of God. And in a spiritual sense, if you're not hydrated, if you don't have the right amount of water moving within, those unseen things within you, the things you don't even understand and don't know all about how they work, there's things within you that are not working properly because you're not properly spiritually hydrated. Glory. But somebody can come to you in that hot and sweaty and tired moment, and they can offer you some things you really like. They can say you can have your favorite stuff. How about some pizza or a pork chop? Or how about a bowl of beans or a chocolate milkshake? But you know, when you're really thirsty, none of that is what you want. You want water. When you are really dry, you don't want pizza. No matter what kind, no matter what's on it, you don't want it. You don't want a bowl of beans. You want water. And the labors of this life, the trials that you go through and the difficulties, even just regular everyday life without a crisis, will dry you out. Serving the people around you, working in ministry and helping the people that you love, being strong for everybody else, this can take you to a dry place. And somebody's soul tonight is longing for that living water. That's what Jesus said that he would be. Nothing else will satisfy. This is John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, not the last day in the end times, but the last day of that feast right there, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, somewhere deep within, shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He's talking about living water. The Spirit of God within you is going to refresh. Hallelujah. You can find, I think it's in the book of Isaiah, where he talks of the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Holy Ghost outpouring, and he says, this is the rest wherewith you shall cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, the times of refreshing. That's the Spirit of God coming upon you. Hallelujah. Stand with me. We're just about done tonight. Call on his name just a moment. Just a moment tonight. Understand that Jesus loves you. Understand that Jesus wants to quench that thirst within you tonight. Oh, I know we could do specific needs and say, everybody who needs to be healed over here, everybody who needs to repent of your secret sins over there, everybody who's hungering and thirsting for righteousness, just lift your hands, call on His name, and see what He might do. The Lord will pour out upon the thirsty people tonight. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Let me tell you this about, this is great news for the thirsty people with us tonight. Jesus loves you. Oh, you knew I was going to say that again. You don't have to go one more day in the desert. You don't have to go one more dry moment because it's time tonight for your dry season to end. I was looking for throughout the Bible, I was trying to find a verse, a scripture that was just for the dry people, just for those that are crying out for the Spirit of God to nourish and to quench. And I found it in Isaiah 41, verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Watch what He'll do. He says, I will open rivers in the high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Hallelujah. If you're in that high place, He says, I'm going to bring water. If you're in the low place in the valley, I'm going to bring water. If you're in the wilderness, you don't know where you are, I'm going to bring water. I'm going to open a pool of water. Dry, if you're in the dry places, a spring of water. Hallelujah. If you're thirsty for the presence of God, the altar is open tonight. There's no condemnation. There's nothing to intimidate you tonight. We're just a family tonight. Could we come and seek the Lord together? Somebody's going to receive refreshing. Somebody's going to receive some strength. Somebody's body, if you've got some faith, somebody will be healed deep within. Maybe in their emotions, maybe in their muscles and their bones, maybe in their organs. But the Lord wants to heal. The Lord wants to refresh and strengthen you tonight. Oh, He's on your side. Listen to Isaiah 41 and 10 while you gather. This is the words of God. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, call on His name. The Lord wants to pour out something on you beyond what you expected tonight. Oh, it's just an ordinary Tuesday night, but the Lord wants to heal. The Lord wants to strengthen. The Lord wants to refresh you. Oh, go ahead and call on His name. Expect something. Call on Him with faith tonight. Oh, He's going to pour out His Spirit. You're going to feel the Spirit of God begin to well up deep within. Out of your belly, you're going to feel the rivers of water begin to flow. Oh, and it's going to refresh. It's going to strengthen. It's going to heal. It's going to lift you up tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. If you're not feeling bad, if you're not feeling dry, step close to somebody. There's people already grasping hands and putting their hands on their neighbor. Find somebody to be a blessing to. Lift somebody up in the Spirit. Declare a blessing over your friend tonight. We're going to seek the Lord just a few minutes together. The Lord's going to help somebody tonight. The Lord's going to help somebody tonight. Glory to God.